Well, here we are.
It is time, Simba.
If you understand that reference, you might be about the age where we should be working together. It's possible. But it is now one of 3 times a year that I'm accepting clients for my freedom framework, overcoming food sensitivities and increasing energy without unnecessary restriction. My goal for my one-on-one clients is to take them through frameworks and explore tools for achieving 50, 80, 90% of their goals in just a few months and show them how to continue to heal on their own so they don't need me anymore. Honestly, I think we're doing great one-on-one work here, helping women that would otherwise be falling through the cracks, thinking that they're just aging, that they're just moms, that they just, and it may be true that they just have stress, when really those stress hormones and their other core systems just really need some serious support and some serious love to serve them for years to come without symptoms. So if you'd like to clear inflammation, eczema, food sensitivities, or improve energy and brain clarity, I'd love to chat with you. You can book a call with me at kristabigler.com/FSS, kristabigler.com/FSS, and that link will be in the show notes.
We're so hyped up in our, we have a, such a stimulus world, and that goes with fertility or any other thing that we're talking about. If we can just deregulate the system a little bit through breath work by stimulating that parasympathetic response, it can do wonders for our stress levels.
Stress is the inflammation that robs us of life, energy, and happiness. Our typical solutions for gut health and hormone balance have let a lot of us down. We're over-medicated and underserved. At The Less Stressed Life, we're a community of health-savvy women exploring solutions outside of our traditional Western medicine toolbox and training to raise the bar and change our stories. Each week, our hope is that you leave our sessions inspired to learn, grow, and share these stories to raise the bar in your life and home. Today, in The Less Stressed Life, I have Dr. Lizzie Kiefer, who is a doctor of physical therapy specializing in women's health, specifically pregnancy, postpartum, and fertility wellness. She focuses on a holistic, full-body approach when it comes to healing and staying healthy. She believes movement is truly medicine, and there is power in mind and muscle connection. And that really like caught my eye, so we'll come back to that in a moment. When we can tune into our bodies, we find where the root cause is and have long-lasting results that don't rely on band-aids. Isn't that such a wonderful sentence right there? She teaches simple movements that have profound effect on healing and getting stronger when done consistently and with intention, even just 10 minutes a day of focused work. And as a mama, she knows sometimes all you have is a quick 10 minutes. She believes every woman should have the tools to learn how to fix their issues and feel empowered in regaining strength and confidence. Well, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here and chat about all these things.
I want to tell you how you arrived because people always want to know. Yeah. We have these meetings once a month to plan out podcast topics. And Lori, a girl on my team, said, I really love Dr. Lizzie PT's stuff on Instagram. And I went and looked at it. I was like, I also love it. And we have talked about pelvic floor in the past, but I feel like she brings a new, different perspective. And so we'll talk a little bit about that new, different perspective today about the things you did. But I have to stop and go back to this comment, this thing that I kind of underlined and bolded because it makes, as usual, like different things bring up different things for different people. So when you have in your bio, you care about this mind-muscle connection, you might not be thinking what I'm thinking, but when I saw that, I think about the health triad that I kind of made up in my brain. Maybe it really exists, but I always think that you can go about every symptom from a triad. And the triad can be nutritional as one corner, which can be a whole bunch of stuff, what's going on in the gut and deficiencies and toxicity and whatnot. And then there's the emotional piece, right? So the mind piece, and that can be a lot of stuff. And then there's a structural piece. And that's, I always feel like my PTs do a ton of structural stuff. But there's overlap in all these. So people will often do, they'll see chiro or PT for like back pain first, and then maybe they'll end up in my realm like after they have struggled there, right? Like if you struggle with something, you start to move around the different angles. Just like if someone's dealing with an emotion, they might deal with emotion first before they do any kind of like structural and nutritional work. But I was just telling you offline, like I like to just take note of common denominators. And so often I see these kind of chronic pain mechanisms just like causing this neurofeedback loop in the brain forever. And so I see like so much of this systemic body pain that's like kind of could get a label of fibromyalgia, whatever, right? But that might be one way it's presenting. And like the intersection of that or the overlapping of that and like depression and other stuff. And I was just actually wondering if you could speak to mind-muscle connection as a whole and what you mean, like some of the things that you think of when that comes up, like what you think of these kind of chronic pain syndromes and what's going on. It's kind of like, to me, it's the chicken or the egg, because pain sends these signals back to the brain constantly, right? And then it's like, to me, it makes you have a bunch of nutrient deficiencies because stress causes that. So anyway, will you speak a little bit to mind-muscle connection and like all the ways you see that playing out in practice?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. It is the foundation of pretty much all the rehab that I do. And I love the way you put that triad. That's the emotional, it's the physical, and then there's the nutritional part of it too. They all go hand in hand and they feed off each other so well, when that could either be a good way or a bad way. So when we're looking at injury or some sort of pain or dysfunction or something going on with the body, physical therapy related, you really do need to assess what that root cause is. Because say, for instance, you have low back pain. Well, if we're just treating that low back pain and not addressing, maybe it is coming from the pelvic floor, or maybe it's something more systemic or the gut, or there's all these different avenues that we have to address. If our conservative management is not working, we need to see what else is going on. And so when we put that with the mind-muscle connection, it's the same idea of we have to use our brain connecting to that body part in order to make any changes. So let's take, for instance, let's keep going with that low back pain. If we're doing certain exercises to help reduce that low back pain and rehab it, if we're just going through the motions and not really connecting to what muscles are working and going through the motions, then we're really not going to make lasting effects. And that's the whole point behind rehab, is having those lasting effects and retraining our body. And so a lot of times I call it brain therapy, because we're really just rewiring those neural pathways to signal, not the pain signal, but hey, this movement is safe, this is okay. And of course, that's where like the emotional component comes into it as well. Because with pain, that's high emotions we're talking about, whether that be small pain, large pain, whatever it is, we have to address where those emotions are coming from too, and why that's happening. So it's very multifactorial when it comes to any sort of rehab, whether it's a simple ankle sprain or fibromyalgia or something along that line too.
That was what I was going to ask. If you have any thoughts about focused area of pain or something that feels, can start to feel mysterious to people when it's all over the body and becomes more systemic. I find that.
When it is more of a systemic thing, fibromyalgia is a tricky thing to treat. And because it does come from so many different aspects, but it is the same idea of making sure we are hitting that triad, like focusing on the nutritional part of it and the emotional part of it too, and just physically what hurts.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so I know we want to talk a little bit about this mama factor, right? It's like the pre, during, and postpartum space. And often, I know I've said it here before, so often we forget about that mom in the fourth trimester, or there's a lot of room for improvement. It's like, man, if I could have my wishes, I would wish that everyone gets a pelvic floor PT workup postpartum. Oh, wouldn't that make a
you and
huge
me both.
Difference?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, massive difference.
I know. Like, we do not have to pee our pants. And one thing I've noticed from having a few children is like, if you don't use it, you lose it type thing. I don't know if I shouldn't say it like that, but it's like, it's a muscle. So if you don't like continue to work that area, like these things can come back, right? It's like not like perfect.
Totally. And that's, I really do hope someday it does become a just a thing where you get a pelvic PT exam after having a baby. Because just like you mentioned, we end up having some of these issues that we just, one, didn't know were going to be an issue come that fourth trimester. And two, these are usually very fixable things, and we just kind of start to train our body how to compensate for those things rather than figuring out how to rehab it, because pregnancy and birth is quite an event for our body. So we need to get those connections back in place in that fourth trimester. And if we don't, we just, I guess, learn to live with it. And that's where these mom things, quote unquote, come into play.
Right. Okay. So speaking of mom things, let's start with your story, because I know it started with trying to conceive for a while and you've stumbled upon some interesting therapy. So let's just open up a little bit with what your story and how you got interested in this, maybe even the transition from the type of PT you were doing before as weaved in there a little bit.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so we'll just kind of start from the beginning here. So I started out as an orthopedic physical therapist. So I kind of saw pretty much everything. And I was working in a setting that was outpatient, and chiropractors worked there as well. So I see quite a variety of things. And during that time, it was when my husband and I started to really talk about kids and we were ready to try. And as I was working there, we started trying and then we realized it was not going to be as easy as we thought. And so as we were going through our trying to conceive journey, that's when my passion for starting my own business and getting into pelvic floor health really began. And so I have to credit some of our trying to conceive journey to that, because I wonder if would I have really gone down this path if I didn't have that waiting period of trying to conceive. So long story short, during pandemic of 2020, I started my own business and dove headfirst into pelvic floor PT, postpartum pregnancy, all that kind of stuff. Of course, we're still trying to conceive at that point, but I just carried on with starting my business. And I really got into pelvic health because of just friends and family saying comments here and there of, like you mentioned, pee your pants or just these issues postpartum that I'm like, you know what? PT can help with this and I'm going to learn how to do this and really dive deep into it because I know that I can help others. So that's where my passion really stemmed with that. And so started my business with that. And then with the trying to conceive journey, this is where I really dove into functional medicine and getting to the root of the issue. I started out in the hospital setting of I got on Clomid and Provera to really get my period going and ovulation. Nothing worked. And our next step was to see a reproductive endocrinologist, so a fertility specialist. And it was a long wait to get in, which unfortunately that is usually the case. It's months and months to get into an RE. And so we put our name in and we ended up getting in a little bit sooner. And they told us that our first stop was to do IUI, so intrauterine insemination. And so we were on board with this, but I was still like, okay, something is going on with my cycle because it is super wonky. I'm still having 40 days, 30 days, 45 days. They were just kind of all over the place and ovulation was really hard to track. So we went ahead with IUI because at that point we'd been already trying for a year. And so went ahead with that and I still continued to dive into the functional medicine aspect and saw a local functional medicine provider who started to do more testing on me. And during those time of the IUIs, I also started to do acupuncture and that sorts of kind of functional medicine type of thing. So we did 4 rounds of IUI with no luck. And within the mix of there, I did end up having 2 miscarriages, which were, they were short, but still very impactful on our life and really hard because if you've been trying for so long, no matter how short that pregnancy was, you automatically see that light at the end of the tunnel and that hope. So those were really tough to go through. And so once we stopped with the IUI, we decided that was not working for us. And so the next step was to do IVF. And I just felt deep in my gut that that was not the answer for us. I just really felt that I could figure out what was going on with my body. There had to have been a different way. And so we put IVF on pause and said by the end of 2021, if we were not pregnant, then we would maybe start the IVF process. So I was kind of in a little more of a waiting period. And at that time is when I found Mercier Therapy. And I really just found it through, I believe it was an Instagram live. I heard somebody talking about it and I was like, what is this Mercier Therapy? I've never heard of it. It sounds exactly what I'm looking for, right up my alley. And so that I dove headfirst into that as well, did all my research on it. And I found that they were having a course for providers in a couple of months. And so I immediately emailed her and I would love to get into the course. It was on a wait list. And so she emailed me back after a couple of weeks and said that there was an opening. And so I got into the course and I had full thought of, okay, I'm going to use this course. Hopefully I can get pregnant from it, but then also I can help others through fertility struggles. And so after doing a ton of research on it and just with my physical therapy background of the manual therapy, I started to do some of the work on myself. And that month I ended up getting pregnant with Mia, which is the daughter that we have now. And so I attribute a lot of how we got pregnant to all the work we put in, but also to that hands-on approach, because that is an aspect I think that was lacking for us was working on the area because I had shut that area down emotionally and physically and didn't really think about it as much as doing that hands-on kind of work. And so I really feel like just addressing that area and helping bring blood flow back to that area and connecting to it with what was I holding there? What kind of trauma was I holding there? What emotions were I holding there? And speaking affirmations, all of that, which is what Mercier Therapy helps with and teaches you, is what I really started to do. And so I am just very thankful I had found that therapy and now I can help other women as well.
Oh, well, awesome. So this is great. So for me, when people ask me about, this is so timely because I'm kind of having like a month of talking about fertility stuff and I don't talk about it a lot publicly, but there's a lot of opportunity. And as your story just illustrated, in my opinion, the toolbox is a bit one-sided or there's a lot of opportunity in the toolbox for fertility.
Right.
And in our nutrition toolbox, a cool bunch of cool stuff for egg quality. To me, it's optimizing thyroid, adrenals, and basically, again, back to the brain, making sure the brain feels good enough to make progesterone. But you're talking about it from even a little more interesting perspective, which is like physically in the body, right? After that, bringing blood flow to an area. So I'm going to need you to unpack Mercier therapy a little bit more. So tell me how that caught your eye in the first place. Like, what about it? Because right now it's like, okay, you did some physical therapy and it helps you get pregnant, but like, make it more tangible. What brought you to Mercier therapy? And like, what are some of the tenets or like what it does? Like, tell us a little, unpack it for us.
Oh, I'd love to. Yes, I am. I could talk about this all day. So Mercier therapy, when I had heard about it, one, I was immediately drawn to it because I was like, I could do this as a provider. This could be a toolbox for me to help others. And so once I really looked into it, the research behind it and the science behind it, what Mercier therapy is a visceral manipulation, which means we are working the organs of the body. And how often do we touch the organs, work the organs? Not very often. And so for me, I'm like, ding, ding, this is a missing piece. How can I effectively work the uterus and the ovaries and get down into that pelvis to help with blood flow, oxygen, and really just movement of those organs? One of my biggest issues was a thin uterine lining. So my endometrium never really got thick enough to have it flush for an embryo to implant. And so if we can work that area to help, one, work the ovaries to stimulate the brain of those hormones that help to release the egg from the ovary and all that kind of stuff, how can we work that area to promote that connection to the brain and signal the brain, hey, this is a safe place to have an embryo implant and also just things to work better too. So that's initially what caught my eye.
How did you know that your uterine lining was too thin for adherence?
Yeah. So one, I had very light periods. And two, going through the reproductive endocrinologist and the fertility clinic, they would do vaginal ultrasounds before ovulation since we were doing the IUIs. And really, they want it to be 8 millimeters. And mine hardly ever got up past 6.5 millimeters. So that's why I really started the acupuncture. And then, of course, when I found Mercier therapy, it was just a no-brainer for me.
Okay, cool. Okay, so that's what caught your eye. Let's talk about some of the pieces. Maybe who created Mercier therapy? I always feel like a lot of methodologies are, you'll see common denominators in other successful methodologies, right? Like if you look around. And so so let's talk about like how it all started and like maybe who created it. And then let's talk about some of the tenets of it, if that makes sense. I did zero research on this topic.
Yeah, no, let me just kind of dive into it. So Mercier Therapy was created by Jennifer Mercier, and she is located up in the Chicago area. She is a naturopath, and she had been a midwife for a long, long time, delivered many, many babies, and she herself struggled with fertility, and she had a background of being a massage therapist as well. And so she would have her interns work on her and essentially create the Mercier therapy method. And so she just started to piece this together and then started to work on other people and found the benefits of it. And with Mercier therapy, it's pretty incredible. The success rate for pregnancy is 83% within that first year of getting the therapy. Now, the therapy is only 6 sessions long. So you do it one time a week for 6 weeks. And then we just check in with you monthly as you go through your trying to conceive journey. And with it being 83% success rate, that's pretty incredible when you compare that to IVF being only 25, maybe 26% success after that first transfer. So for this to be, one, way more cost effective, two, hitting more of the root issues, and three, just more of that holistic approach, it can also be done in conjunction with IVF or other medicated cycles too. But to me, it's just an avenue of fertility that we really need within our society rather than just jumping straight to medication and the traditional routes as well.
That's so fascinating. Also, thank you for the stats on IVF. You know, isn't this like how it feels? It's like, what in the world are we doing?
I know. And with our training course, we go into depth of what IVF is, what it looks like across the country, and even what's happening in other countries too. And it's to be honest, very mind-blowing what's happening. And I do think IVF is a beautiful thing that we have, especially for people who maybe they don't have any uterine tubes or fallopian tubes, or they really, that is the only option for them. I am so thankful we have IVF, but I do think it is a procedure that is jumped to rather quickly. And it really is pretty intense on the body with all the medications that you have to take and just what the woman has to go through in order to do IVF. So very thankful Mercy Therapy is an option for couples as well. But let's get back to a little bit of the science behind it. So she created this Mercy Therapy and started to work on people. And then she did do some research articles on it and just showed the benefits of doing hands-on therapy for, that's kind of how she got this statistic, and then just improving the blood flow to the area and circulation, and then also beefing up that uterine lining. So there are research articles on that. I'll see if I can get those to you. Maybe you can link them too. But visceral manipulation is where we are working those organs. And so, like I had mentioned before, this is an area that we don't really touch or work into. And there is something called the Mayan massage. I don't know if you've heard of that. Okay, so that is a type of fertility massage that massage therapists can be trained in. And they do work more kind of the abdomen area and different cupping techniques. But Mercy Therapy is different in the sense that it does do more of that visceral manipulation. So we are going deep down into that uterus and then working all the way through the pelvis and into the back and what. So Mercy Therapy is great for those who are just struggling with fertility, who are wanting to do this in conjunction with an IUI or IVF. It can be for those who have endometriosis. It is a really, really beautiful therapy for endometriosis, as that is endometrial tissue that can be spread throughout the body and be very, very painful. And Jennifer Mercier, she did have endometriosis, and this helped with her endometriosis. And I have had clients who this helped tremendously with some of the pain that they endured through their cycles. And so it can be for that. And it can also be really great for C-section. So any of that scarring that goes all the way down to the uterus, we don't really work that deep. And so scar tissue can hinder our abilities to, one, get pregnant, and two, just move in the way that we need to, and fascial pulls and all that kind of stuff. So getting deep down into that area can help with releasing some of that scar tissue or just help it move better in general.
I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
First of all, I'm going to start with this one.
Yeah.
When you think about Mercier Therapy, and now that you've worked with people doing this for fertility, this is like a fun question. I wrote down, like, what are some of the weirdest things that you've seen? When you said scar tissue and like just stuff, I'm like, I think there are such bizarre things that can contribute to our imbalances or our inability to produce certain things. So anything stick out to you? I don't want to like feed into this too much of like any thoughts, because I'm like, well, like, oh, let me give you one example. I find it very fascinating how much concussions impact the immune system and can impact like how people respond to foods. It's fascinating. When we talk about scar tissue and things, like, what are some weird things you've seen that are impairing people, like, from having their body thinking everything is fine and it can do things the way it's supposed to?
So I would say there were multiple situations that I have encountered with clients that it kind of like what we talk about, it goes back to that triad. So when we're working into the abdomen and into the uterus in that area, and they tell me their symptoms beforehand and just their whole subjective review, we really start to see pieces connect to other issues within the body, such as gut issues. That is a huge one for just pelvic floor issues in general, but also fertility too. And so the bloating that they have, whether it be around certain parts of their cycle or, I mean, just kind of all the time, we can really relate that to the gut and other things going on there. And as far as really interesting things, I would have to say, oh gosh, it's a tough one, because I don't know if I've had anything like way off the wall bizarre, but I have had clients who have done, well, I'll get to this one in a second, but one, the ovaries, the cysts on the ovaries that can get really enlarged. And had clients who, after we've done Mercier Therapy, they have reduced significantly, and they know this because they were doing the IUIs within. So they were getting those vaginal ultrasounds too and all the ultrasounds. And so I thought that was really, really interesting that just that hands-on kind of technique really helped to decrease the cysts and the pain that they were experiencing in that area.
Right. I just wonder, and when I think about cysts, I think about like, they're undeveloped follicles. So like, I always think about it as like, I think I can hormone, like can't quite get there. But then that cyst is kind of like leftover debris almost, right? Like it's not useful anymore. So it just kind of hangs out. So if you're doing something that supports drainage and elimination, so I think of this therapy probably really supporting lymphatics a lot.
Exactly.
Then that makes sense that it would really support
where we are working on that lymphatic movement and drainage, because the lymph system also plays such a role in our overall health. And it is one of those things that I think people do start to catch on with, the whole bouncing thing that is going on nowadays and the dry brushing and all of that for lymph health. I think it is starting to catch on a little bit more in how much the lymph system impacts our body and, of course, fertility as well.
Right. But if you're being really manual and a little more intense, one thing I think that's fascinating, I'm a bit jealous of is that you have a very prescriptive time frame here. Like it's once a week for 6 weeks, which is nice. I think there's different ways people can do that, but it's like, it's really cool when you can say, this is what's normal, or here's what it takes to create that particular result. So I liked that part of it. So you said Jennifer Mercier was an ND. She was a midwife. She had a massage background. So that makes me think that more than physical therapists do Mercier therapy, probably, right? Yeah.
This
so
is
interesting.
True.
Yes. And is this new-ish? Like she's deceased, or like how long has this been around?
She is still going strong with it and still teaching the course. I believe it's been around, I want to say 10 to 15 years. It's been going on. And I would say in the last probably 5 years, I think it has really caught fire, and which I think is amazing because I do think people are looking for more of those holistic approaches.
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens when your next option is like 20 to 30 grand. It's like, is there anything else? This seems a bit invasive, right?
Exactly.
You know, and that happens with a lot of conditions. It's like, really? This is the next option? Like a really, like a $3,000 drug every month? Like, really?
Right.
That's it. It's like, yeah, there's got to be more options. So that's kind of my mantra, is like, probably an option. There's probably more options.
And just, this is kind of off a little bit, but it's still in the same thing that we're talking about. But just in general of different dysfunctions that people are told they automatically need surgery for, or that those are the only options.
Why?
Like, have we tried some hands-on therapy here? Have we addressed the mental component of what's going on? You know, there's so many avenues that I think our health system these days just doesn't necessarily have time for, and pharma, all these different things that play a role in it all. But I just think there's such beauty and so much that can come from just putting some hands-on work on people and finding that root cause.
I'm sure you could beat your head against a wall with the amount of people that have surgery over something that you could have helped them rehab. I'm sure. Because this is what I get when I hang out with PT friends a lot. Like, there's so much overlap in how we feel about everything. Like, we have so many of the same issues in our profession.
Totally.
Okay. So the next question I was thinking about when you're talking about doing this very specific visceral massage and therapy is, if someone's not coming in to see someone in person and you're trying to teach this virtually, tell us about how easy or difficult that is. Because when I've had my massage therapist do any abdominal massage, I'm like, if I do that on myself, like I would not do as an effective job.
Right.
So what is your approach to that?
And that's the thing with, I wish it was something you could do more at home, and I wish I could teach it at home. But since it is such a deep work, there's really no way for you to do it on yourself, because you'd end up just tensing the abdomen, or you just can't quite get to the areas that we need to. And then we also work into the glutes and the backside and fascial restrictions there. So it's really just almost impossible to do on yourself. Now, there are things that I do get my clients to do at home, and that is simply breath work and affirmations. And that seems so small and just unimpactful, but that's one of the biggest things that we can do for ourselves, is that mind muscle connection, or just connecting to that area. So I have them just lay on the floor, place their hands on their uterus and or whatever area is giving them issues, and then just think about breathing into that area. Breathe into that uterus. Feel everything expand. Realize that there's something down there and that it's living and breathing and it moves. And then speaking affirmations into that, because what we speak to ourselves really does matter.
Oh, I spend a lot of time trying to make breathwork sound sexy. Glad because it's like, oh, this particular term. This is why, like, mind-muscle connection or under, like, for me, I don't see how, I like people to understand what's happening, right? Like, I want them to understand how it all fits together, because then you can really appreciate it. But so often we assign a label to something, right?
Yeah. And breathwork is just, it's one of those things that I really try to lightly and carefully with my clients, because I don't want them to think it is just breathing. We are stimulating that vagus nerve. We are trying to get that parasympathetic response of rest and digest and decreasing that nervous system, deregulating the nervous system, because we're so hyped up in our, we have a, such a stimulus world. And that goes with fertility or any other thing that we're talking about. If we can just deregulate the system a little bit through breath work by stimulating that parasympathetic response, it can do wonders for our stress levels.
You know, one of my original breathwork mentors is a physical therapist by trade, and he was feeling very helpless about what he could. He was like, oh my gosh, I can't help them change this. Like, so that he got into functional breathwork, and functional breathwork is really kind of like a scientist's toolbox of here's how I impact these types of things, where there's a few different types, which I did not really realize there was those distinctions until probably like 5 months ago. So I feel like, I bet you don't this in school. Like, when did you come into breath work as a useful modality in physical therapy? Because I feel like I have a chiropractic friend who does pelvic floor stuff, and it's like the backbone of it is breath work.
It totally is. Diaphragmatic breathing, which is a type of breathing, is the absolute foundation, number one thing that I teach to all of my clients, because it is the only way that we really tap into that pelvic floor and that deep core. So I learned about breathing when I did start to get into more of the pelvic floor type of stuff. I did do some breathwork type of things with DNS, which is called dynamic neuromuscular stabilization. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it is just a rehab technique where we're tapping into the nervous system and putting you into kind of those developmental patterns to help retrain that brain. And so we learned breathing techniques with that, and that's where I dove into it. And then, of course, like I said, getting into the pelvic floor stuff, we learned more of the diaphragmatic breathing and just those stress relief kind of breathing techniques. But this, unfortunately, is not something we usually learn within physical therapy school and even pelvic floor physical therapy. This is all education that we do after school. We learn bits and pieces of maybe some of the muscles of the pelvic floor in school, but that's honestly the depth that it goes in. And that's why seeing a specialist of, whether that be a neuro specialist or pelvic floor or sports, is really helpful, because we do so much extra training after school to learn about that specific field.
What I have found in PT that's similar to my profession is that I have met so many people who do pelvic floor work at this juncture, right? At this phase of life. But if you think you're going to find someone who specializes in pelvic floor, I'm under the impression if you do private practice PT, you're probably going to get a better experience than a large facility. And I think our opinion is, let me go to this large medical facility that's really renowned in my town, whereas actually they have more limited scopes of practice sometimes.
Yeah.
Or they're more used to doing like rehab stuff. It's kind of like in my profession, there's some really pigeonholed in a box type things that are really common and that insurance has covered. And in your case, I bet it's like post-surgery stuff, just a guess. But I'm sure that like the pigeonhole that you guys are in a big clinic or facility setting. And what I have learned for both of us is that we can do better work in these private practice settings, because we can really do our own continuing ed.
It's true. And I wish that wasn't the case, but insurance does run a lot of what physical therapists can do, or just what they'll, you know, actually get paid for. Mm-hmm. And so being in a private practice, we can really spend one-on-one time. And I will say, there are, just like any field, there's a wide variety of ways to practice. And I would say, if you're seeing a pelvic floor PT, really making sure that they're understanding it's a full body approach too. And they're not just doing the internal assessment and giving you some Kegels, because that is one type of practice of it. But the other practice is really that full body approach and connecting it to functional movement, connecting it to your breath, and really all the stuff that you do throughout your day. So I highly recommend finding somebody who has that kind of approach. And a lot of times it is within that private practice sector.
Well, I bring it up because I think it's just important to know, sometimes I might know a lot of people, but if you're listening to this and if you're kind of looking for someone you can work with in person, potentially, then there's just ways to find someone who might have that skill set, right? I know there's so much more we could chat about, but I'd like to save it for a subsequent because I feel like there's like prepping for pregnancy and other things. And I just feel like this was such a good topic to like have standalone with Mercier Therapy. So to recap, it's a recent kind of development or really a protocol created by someone who had these experiences and now teaches other people, but it's useful in not only fertility prep to bring blood flow to that area to support lymphatics. It also can be useful in PCOS, which is super duper common, and in endometriosis pain, which is super duper common. Is there any other indications for it?
So the only other one I can think of is post-surgical. So any sort of abdominal surgery or the
C-section recovery.
Yep. C-section, laparoscopy, anything to where they're getting into that area where we can work the scar tissue. That would be another indication for this kind of therapy.
Oh, that's wonderful because that's like, this is really a lot of people, right? Isn't that funny how that works? It's like, oh, this actually affects like so many darn people.
It is, and that's why I'm so glad that it's out there and that it's helping so many people with it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so some of the tenets are just bringing blood flow to that area. I don't know if breathwork is part of it, but really like a lot of visceral manipulation is kind of the real crux of it, right?
Exactly.
Every week, is there a different angle?
So we do the same therapy each week because it's basically building on each other.
Oh, okay.
And we'll address certain areas if it's feeling like a little more restricted, maybe on one side versus the other, as far as like the ovaries go or anything like that. But the therapy remains the same each session so that it can continue to improve all of those things that we talked about. Mm-hmm.
And then people do it in between, I'm sure, as well, right? What if people are not where they want to be at the end of 6 weeks? Then what is like the protocol from there? Do you just, is there some cases more challenging because of scar tissue, I would imagine? Or do you ever do any other modalities?
Yeah. So as a PT, there are some times where I say we need to do a little bit more of physical therapy type of stuff. But based on the protocol and the research of it, I say this is the 6 weeks. And really, we let your body just heal now. And we let it do its thing and process and give it that time to do what it needs to do in order to hopefully achieve pregnancy. If they are planning to do medicated cycle or IVF later down the road, we can always do one or two therapies of that Mercier Therapy session as they're approaching that. But really, it's just we do those six sessions and we let your body do its thing. And it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. What are some of the results? Like, we all love stories. Tell us some fun stories.
Yeah, let me just tell you, hey, because it's so exciting. So a lot of my clients who come in have been trying for quite some time, of course. And I do have one in particular who I always think about her. And she had gone through 2 years of trying to conceive and several IUI cycles and did have a late term miscarriage. And so she found Mercier Therapy, started to work with me. And after sessions, I believe it was probably 2 or 3 months after we finished, she got pregnant and she actually got pregnant with twins. And twins do not run in her family, and it's not necessarily a side effect of Mercier Therapy to have twins, but she did get pregnant with twins after going through all of that stuff, and they are already here on Earth's side and doing very well. And thinking of that too, I actually had another client who she did not go through any medicated cycles or anything, but she got pregnant with twins from Mercier Therapy and doesn't run in her family or anything like that. And yeah, and then the other one that I'll share is a gal who came to see me because she was doing embryo adoption, which is something I was not super familiar with. And so she wanted to have her best odds possible for having that happen. And so she did the Mercier Therapy prior to her IVF cycle, which she was doing in California. And she ended up, it all went well. And she has 2 healthy babies from embryo adoption. And it was just a really, really cool thing to be just to get those pregnancy tests, text messages or emails is just the best thing in the world.
Yeah, really validating in your life and career. Okay, so Lizzie, how can people find you online or do you work with people virtually?
So at this time, I'm not working with people virtually. I do have a course coming out that is a postpartum pelvic floor rehab course. So that's a way that they can do virtual stuff with me if they want to. But my Instagram at DocLizzieDPT is a great way to just find information, free resources. I have a lot of freebies on there and just to kind of chit chat with me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. And I anticipate a future conversation for us.
I would love that. I had such a good time.
Thank you. Sharing and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help us succeed with our mission to help integrate the best of East and West and empower you to raise the bar on your health story. Just go to reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life. That's reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life, and you'll be taken directly to a page where you can insert your review and hit post.